Welcome, welcome everybody to this special moment of remembrance for the Merchant Navy. I'm now going to invite His Majesty's Lord Lieutenant to greet and inspect those gathered on parade. Thank you. And so today, with gratitude and grace, we remember. We remember the many years of service and sacrifice of our Merchant Navy to our nation. Remember the support and enduring friendships of the Merchant Navy community. And we remember with thanks before God those whom we have known and lost, and in particular those who navigate the busy and sometimes treacherous seas, both far and near, today. So let's begin our time together in prayer. Let's pray. O God, we ask you to take into your care and protection all who sail in ships across the world. Make them alert and wise in their duties. Make them faithful in times of routine, prompt to decide and courageous to act in times of crisis. Protect them in the dangers and the perils of the sea. Even in the storm, grant that there may be peace and calm within their hearts. When they are far from home and far from loved ones, help them to be quite sure that wherever they are, they can never drift beyond your care. Take care of their loved ones in the days and weeks and months when they are separated, sometime with half the world between them, and every time they have to be apart, bring them together in safety and in loyalty again. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to invite the Vice Chair of Dorset Council, Councillor Les Fry, BEM, to begin our speeches this morning. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. As Vice Chair of Dorset Council, I welcome you all here today to commemorate the role of the Merchant Navy plays, both in times of conflict and also in times of peace. As an island nation, seafarers have been absolutely crucial in times of war, keeping supply lines open during the two world wars and reaching far-flung areas of the world like the Falklands to defend our citizens. More recently, during the COVID-19 pandemic, the government rightly recognised those working in the Merchant Navy as key workers, a reflection of the vital role they played during the crisis. Today, there are around 80,000 men and women working at sea. They continue to bring in over 90% of our imports, and without them, we will be facing empty shelves in our shops, chemists, and supermarkets. In spite of receiving royal acknowledgement, these hardworking individuals don't always get the wider recognition or support they deserve. Too often, they are for the forgotten or invisible service. So on this special day, we remember the sacrifices, salute the courage, and support the future of the often unsung personnel of our Merchant Navy. We are grateful to have the opportunity to recognise the important role merchant seafarers play. And I would ask Kay Wheeler, representing Weymouth Sea Cadets, to raise the red ensign in their honour. Thank you all. I will now invite His Majesty Lord Lieutenant, Mr. Angus Campbell, CVO, to speak.
Thank you very much. It's amazing to see how this particular ceremony has grown over the years. I have to say, I've been doing this for over 10 years, and this is my last day. So you might hear the same speech, it might be a wee bit different. It's quite difficult when you're talking about this. You have three speeches to be made. A lot of the same statistics will come out, but I've had a sneaky look at some of the things other people are going to say, and I'll try and dance around them a little bit so it's not too samey. But some things have to be said. The reason it's today, the 3rd of September, is because the first ship sunk in the Battle of the Atlantic was sunk on the 3rd of September, and it was basically the Athenia. It was not a dangerous ship at all. It had an awful lot of civilians on it. And beyond that, of course, we know the Battle of the Atlantic took place. And I won't go into all the statistics. Some of those will come back to you. But merchant seamen, both in the First World War and in the Second World War, suffered tremendously. And as has been said, it was not truly recognised most of the time. Our, our country then imported a lot. The Germans felt that if they could starve us to death, and they very nearly did on two occasions, that would help them win the war. What we have to realise is that we wouldn't have a hope of feeding ourselves now. There are 69 million people in this country. It's gone up a bit since I were a lad. And there's no way we can feed them ourselves. So both the Royal Navy, who protect the shipping lanes, and the Merchant Navy, essentially, who supply us with food and other things that we may wish to have, are absolutely essential to us. There were 32,000, actually up to 36,000 seamen killed, which was the greatest proportional loss in the Second World War to any arm. And yet, surprisingly, merchant seamen were not allowed to march past the cenotaph and remembrance service until the year 2000. That's extraordinary, isn't it? The greatest loss, but in that respect, not being revered in the way they should have been. Luckily, that's all been made up now, and we're working on it, and we have this ceremony every year. And I'm going to pick out one or two things that happened in the Second World War. Operation Pedestal, the relief of Malta. Malta was absolutely essential to us in that war, particularly in the centre years, because it was a sort of aircraft carrier. We had aircraft, we had submarines there, some naval ships, but it was difficult to keep them afloat in the circumstances, and they were there to stop the Axis forces taking all the supplies across to North Africa, where Rommel was doing his stuff rather effectively. And so it was essential that Malta should survive. And at one time they could get airplanes there, but they couldn't get the fuel there. And so they sent a load of ships to them, 14 merchant ships, 9 of which were sunk. The most important ship was the Ohio, which was an American tanker, quite modernly designed, so it resisted sinking. It was attacked time and time again, stopped time and time again. It even had a Stuka on the bow at one point. A lot of the people serving on it were killed, and then they couldn't get it into Malta because the engines didn't work. And so they tied destroyer on either side, and they actually got it into Malta that way. And without that, I think the whole thing would have been a complete disaster, because they had most of the fuel was preserved for the fighters that were being flown in. But that exercise lost an awful lot of people. It was attacked by the Italians and by the Germans, as you would expect. We actually lost an aircraft carrier taking aircraft out to Malta on that occasion. And yet it shows the absolute courage of people, some of which were very young, who really had very little choice. They just had to go. They were told they were going to go, and they did it very well. And they kept those ships going if they possibly could. So that's one example. The Arctic convoys too. PQ-17 was a convoy that was abandoned, really, because of misinformation. And only one ship got through. The Russians said, "You're just saying that. You didn't send any," which was a real... So many people died there, and you didn't last in the sea very long. And unfortunately, the Navy had gone off elsewhere because they had information they were being attacked from a different direction. So another example of merchant seamen just taking the stick and trying to get through anyway. And the person who did get through then did it by guile. He just painted the whole ship white and went through ice floes, and he wasn't picked up by the Condor bombers. So we've had the Falklands, we know all about that. But we also have, in the Red Sea now, the Houthi rebels arbitrarily, as far as we can tell, attacking merchant ships. There are merchantmen on all of them from all nations. And so merchantmen are still taking that stick at the moment, trying to get stuff through the canal there. So our country depends on the sea and merchant shipping. The ocean's a dangerous place at any time. Recent events in Western Europe have proved that we are not in a situation where we can relax on this. We're in a very dangerous situation, and perhaps not enough people recognise it. But they're going to fairly shortly, and that makes it, again, even more important that we can protect ourselves. And the Merchant Navy is the essential thing to do it. We need the Navy too to protect the Merchant Navy, but we need the Merchant Navy to keep us alive, and people don't often notice that. So it's a wake-up call. So important to have the capability to protect our sea lanes on which we depend and support the men and women who run them. And as they say, as is said in the Bible, those who go down to the sea in ships and do their business on great waters, they are essential. And those are you people and the people who follow your track. And we do revere you. Thank you.
I will now invite the National Secretary of the Merchant Navy Association, Captain David Parsons, MNM, to speak.
Good morning. In a small park overlooking the Tower of London are three national memorials. These list the names of all those merchant seafarers and fishermen who died in the conflicts of the 20th century and for whom there is no known grave but the sea. The First World War Memorial records almost 12,000 names, whilst the Second War Memorial records a further 24,000. But in total, there are around 15,000 lost in World War I and believed to be in excess of 36,000 in World War II. Those not recorded on those memorials have graves ashore. And of course, we must remember that alongside our own merchant navy were those of the Commonwealth countries and our allies. In the same park, a short distance away, is another memorial recording 18 more merchant seafarers who were lost in the Falklands War. These statistics conceal the sustained heroism of the men and also some women who were civilians without the support of military discipline and training, and yet they faced mortal danger in the service of others, and they did not waver. Never in the worst time was there any lack of willing hands to man the ships, however hazardous the voyage or their cargoes. They took troops to the scene of battle and sustained them where they fought. They carried food without which our own population and others would have starved, and vital supplies without which the needs of the fighting forces and the civilian economies which nourished them could have been met. Whenever they put to sea, they were under constant threat of attack, and all too often this was true even in port. They knew from bitter experience the horror that followed an enemy attack. During World War II, there were never less than 200,000 officers and ratings serving in these ships, and yet in no other field of war did so high a proportion engaged lose their lives. This year, as we commemorate the Normandy invasion, let us also remember that the Merchant Navy, alongside with the Allied merchant ships, played an enormous and vital role in D-Day, and subsequently throughout this and indeed the other invasions. There again, some made the ultimate sacrifice. This country and those of our allies are as much in their debt as we are to the armed services. Quite simply, they help make victory possible. Thank you.
I'm now going to invite Captain David Knight, JP, to lay a wreath. So may God grant to the living grace, to the departed rest, to the Church, the King, the Commonwealth, and all people unity, peace, and concord, and to us and all God's servants life everlasting, and the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all and remain with you always. Amen.
Three cheers for the Merchant Navy. Hip hip.
Hooray.
Hip hip.
Hooray.
Hip hip.
Hooray.
Thank you, everyone, for attending this morning. Very much appreciated. There's now tea and coffee and pastries for anybody who would like them. Thank you. I'm Les Fry, BEM. That's the British Empire Medal, which I was awarded by the late Queen for work in the community. And I've also got a couple of medals for my time within the police, Jubilee medals and long service and good conduct medal as well. It's been a very nice event to be at, to recognise the Merchant Navy and all the trials and tribulations that they've had over the years. We know that they play a significant role in keeping our country going, keeping our shops and stores supplied, bringing supplies from around the world to here. So we should, and it's good and right and proper that we recognise the commitment and the service that they give, those people who work so long, so hard in far off places. To support our country, so it's good to be recognised by them.
Well, I'm very pleased to have Lord Lieutenant of Dorset here, Angus Campbell. How many years have you been in this role?
I've been here 10 years, 7 months, almost exactly.
And what have you done? What are your memories, your favourite memories maybe?
There are so many memories, actually. I like the military connection. It allowed me to put my medals up, my flying wings up, and get back into military society, which I obviously support anyway. It was all a bonus, though. There was that, all the wonderful organisations that were run purely on a voluntary basis, to be able to get in there, actually put people together who can help each other too, which is quite important. Try and sort of persuade people that they're all doing the same thing and they can do more of the same thing if they get together and help. But, you know, there are some wonderful people in Dorset, no doubt elsewhere in the world, but wonderful people in Dorset. And you do get an in to seeing how they work and what they do. And it's an enormous privilege to do that and to encourage it, which is what we're here for, I suppose. And we have the uniform, which I found the royal family on their visits don't necessarily particularly want, unless they happen to be the monarch, which, you know, and they do, which is understandable because that's a sign of the fact that they're the monarch. But the uniform is really to go to places and to encourage people that they would like to encourage, but can't, because clearly there aren't that many. There are even less working royal members of the royal family than there were. So Lord Lieutenants take on that role, and then they wear their uniform and they'd say, I am representing His Majesty. Or whoever else in the royal family, if there was someone they particularly asked, you know, in this role. And it's seen and believable in that respect. And it's a great privilege. And we're very spoilt in certain respects.
So, the future?
Well, the future is, I don't know. I'm going to stop for a bit and sort of paddle around and see what comes up. I just really think I'd quite like a rest, actually. Much as I've loved doing what I'm doing, it's quite full on, as they say, and that's nice too. Perhaps I did too much myself and didn't use my deputies as much as I should have. A lesson I'll pass on to my successor. And we've had some really good young people coming forward, getting into national and international sport, right across the board, from tennis through golf to handball, and I didn't know anything about handball before, or cycling, you know, anything you like, water polo. It's amazing the number of people out there doing things, rowing, etc., etc. So, that was good, because it actually enabled youngsters who had talent and parents who wanted to support them. Only little bits of money, because it was hand-to-mouth stuff, but we persuaded people to support us, and they've done it very well. And the result is somebody's life is really enhanced, which otherwise it wouldn't be, through lack of funds and the ability. So there we are.
You sound very proud of the people of Dorset.
Oh, extremely. Who wouldn't be?
Well, it's been a privilege to know you, and that's been very nearly 40 years. And
terrifying.
Yeah. Well, it is at one level, but it is an immense privilege. So thank you, as the Americans say, for your service.